Welcome to another edition of Mundo Albiceleste's podcast. This time, I'm not with John in Malaysia. I'm not with Rafael in Sweden. I'm not with Sam Kelly from England. I'm not with Johnny in Buenos Aires. And I'm not with Roy in Canada. This time, I'm with Joel Richards. He is from England, but he's in Buenos Aires at the moment. A colleague of mine, a sports journalist, and a very good friend of mine. So it's a pleasure to have you here, Joel, and welcome to Mundo Albiceleste podcast.
Thanks very much for having me on, Seb. I'm very excited about making my debut, although it's nice to know that I was first choice for this podcast.
Yeah, well, and you were the first choice because we are thinking of discussing this list that Diego just announced for the squad that will be traveling to Moscow to play against Russia on the 12th of August. And since you've been living in Buenos Aires for a long time, I'm watching the local league and also the national team and have an understanding of the whole situation. We wanted to bring you on to discuss this. So what is your first thoughts on this list, and is there a player that you are excited on seeing on this list, or a player that is being ignored again by Diego that you would like to see playing for Argentina?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first thing that really struck me yesterday, those Olé published an 8-page interview with Maradona, really extensive. And Diego actually said that, you know, he sees the Russia game as kind of a bit of a hindrance, that it's kind of getting in the way for preparation for the qualifier against Brazil in September, which, you know, probably going to make or break Maradona as the national team coach. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure how much importance he's giving it. I mean, he's called up quite a strong squad, but I mean, there are two players that are going to be getting debuts if they're chosen to start or if they come on in the second half, and that's Bolatti, who was really good with Huracan last season, and also Datolo, who's gone to Napoli. He was from Boca, but and I've got to say, in terms of Bolatti, I think it's a really good chance to see a player who could have quite a good role for the national team, not just over the next year or two, but for the next 4 or 5 years. But I'm not sure about you, Seba, but I have my doubts a little bit about Datolo. He hasn't been playing too much in Italy, and I just wonder whether he's really got the quality to play for the full national team.
Well, I think we are on the same page here, because and I wrote a comment on Mundo Albiceleste about this. I read also in this excellent interview that Olé had with Maradona on Monday, I read that he said that he wants Datolo to have an option wide left, because he doesn't have Angel Di Maria. He wouldn't be able to play against Brazil or Paraguay because he's suspended after the red card he got at La Paz against Bolivia. So I don't think he's going to use Datolo from the start. I'm more of the idea that he's going to use Jonas Gutierrez on the left, maybe, or even use Maxi Rodriguez on the left if he decides to go with a double central midfield partnership of Mascherano and Gago, and also use Verón. So he's probably going to have to decide between Jonas or Maxi to play wide left. But that's maybe part of another debate. But when it comes to calling up Datolo, yeah, that's kind of a surprise for me. And I don't think he's a player that is going to add a lot to this current setup.
I also just wonder, it's a bit like, you know, the game against Panama that they had when they kind of used, they had a B team, you know, a team made up of players based in Argentina. And you just look at someone like Bergesio, you know, the striker at San Lorenzo, or even Datolo in this case, and you just think, are they really going to be in the team? Are they going to be in contention for the squad for the World Cup? Or are they really going to add anything in the future? I mean, these are players who are just kind of perhaps on the fringe, got a bit of quality, very good for their clubs, but, you know, I think there are big question marks about whether they're good for the national team. And whereas then you look at other players like De Federico at Huracan, you know, who's very sort of plays a little bit deeper than Messi, but quite similar in so much he's very short, very quick, left-footed, very skillful player. And he did well against Panama in the B team. And you just think, well, how come he's not in the squad to go to Russia? I mean, there's a problem with the Argentine league starting, but then Bolatti's in the squad as well. So, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a sort of coherent selection process going on just at the minute. When you think, you know, he's given De Federico a chance, he did very well, and now he's not included in the squad. So I don't know whether there's something going on there with Huracán, because they had a problem with Pastore as well last year, not going to Venezuela for the under-18s. But it just seems, though, for that option that, you know, Dátolo, I can see him being involved in this game and then never appearing again.
Yeah, maybe it's a case of Maradona not wanting to call up many of the big stars just to avoid a conflict with European clubs. But
sure.
I think he has to call up at least a few of the world-class names, and because of a contract that Argentina and the AFA signed with this company that organizes the friendlies in Europe, and yeah. they had to call at least the core of the team for every friendly, because they're paying a lot of money. So maybe Diego doesn't want to call up many players from the big European clubs just to avoid getting in a conflict with them. Remember what happened with Messi and the whole Olympics situation, and how they managed to sign the deal, or not even sign, but got to an arrangement, a verbal arrangement with Barcelona to let him go to the Olympics and miss a few of the friendlies for last season. So maybe now he doesn't want to get in conflict with big clubs, and he doesn't want to call players, many players from one single club. But I don't think that's an excuse for him to leave a lot of players out. Players that should be at least given a chance to show what they can do and be tested at this stage. And when he says that this friendly against Russia comes at a very bad time for him, because he wants to concentrate on Brazil, and maybe going to Russia will be a distraction or something, I think he's missing the point here. And the important thing is, you know the players you're calling every day. Why not give an opportunity to other players and for you as a manager to be able to observe other players and give them an opportunity to shine and show their value? But instead, he's going with the same players that he's calling every day and at every opportunity, and he's missing out on a chance to test something new.
Yeah, you're right. And I suppose you're right. I suppose he is caught between that sort of choosing all the players that he'd, like, basically having a dress rehearsal for the Brazil game, and also they're giving a couple of players a chance. And I suppose that's where it'll be interesting to see how Bolatti and Dátolo, as the two new players, come in. I mean, they've both got a chance here, don't forget, as well, to have a fantastic game against Russia and really play themselves into the squad. But then, as you said, it's going to be about, 3 weeks just before the Brazil game. And in this, you know, really extensive interview with Ole just yesterday, you know, he said they've got to scrap the 4-3-3 system because it's not working. So he's definitely going to go with 4-4-2, which they've done in a couple of games, but he still doesn't really seem to have his tactics sort of decided, which isn't a problem if the players respond to what he asks of them. But it just seems that at the minute, still everyone's kind of caught in two minds as to what is sort of required from them and what Diego wants from them.
And what is your opinion on Maradona calling up Tevez, despite him being injured? He has a heel injury, and one of the physios of the national team is even going to Manchester to help with his treatment. But as far as I know, he hasn't been able to even train or run ever since last season started. Is he right in calling Carlitos this time and maybe even taking a few crucial days for him to adapt better to his new club?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see what Manchester City have to say about this, because as you said, he's been injured for the last month or so, and certainly at the time of us recording this, we don't know what the state of play is. But I mean, the Premier League kicks off just about 3 days after this friendly with Russia, if I'm not mistaken, and yeah. I doubt very much that Man City will let him will have paid, you know, 25 million for him, and however many thousands of pounds they're paying him a week. I'm not sure they'll allow him to travel. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what happens. But obviously, Diego hasn't really looked beyond Messi, Aguero and Tevez up front. No one else has really had much of a chance. Not Lisandro Lopez, nor Milito, nor Lavezzi, who have been called up, nor, you know, Zarate or Higuain, or any other striker that you care to mention. You know, he's really stuck with these three, and so I suppose from Diego's point of view, if he can't have Tevez, it's quite a spanner in the works.
Yeah, well, and also regarding these three little guys up front, as we call them on Mundo Albiceleste, he hinted that he may not use the three up front against Brazil, and I heard him on an interview he gave on TAC Sports in Argentina, and also, if I'm not mistaken, in this long interview he gave Ole, he also said something that he doesn't want to, he maybe won't use the three up front against Brazil because the system is not working right now. He said he wants to, maybe in the long run when he has more time to work with these players, but he hinted that there may be a chance for him to use another system. Or something similar as we saw at Quito against Ecuador when he played Messi and Tevez up front because Agüero was injured. But now the three little guys maybe will be fit in time for the World Cup qualifier against Brazil, but it's maybe a case of Maradona not using them.
I think it's he definitely mentioned it, didn't he, in this interview. I mean, he called Lucio and Luizão, the two centre backs who played for Brazil in the Confederations Cup, you know, basketball players, and they're going to have to play. If there's a real danger, if they play three in midfield and three up front, Argentina, that is, they'll become stuck in the midfield against Brazil because Felipe Melo and Gilberto Silva play very deep in the holding roles in midfield, and they play quite close to their centre backs, and so there's a real chance that things will just get really stuck in the middle if Argentina play that way. And I think it would be a good move to try and open the pitch up as much as possible so that they can make the most of that. And to do that, they're going to have to play just two of the three. You also wonder whether they need a bit more presence up front as well. And in terms of maybe someone like Diego Milito, as you know, not just because he's a target man, but also just for the, you know, for the physical battle, because it's not as if Brazil are going to rock up in, well, Rosario, as it seems, it looks like it's going to be, for the qualifier, and just, you know, let Messi just kind of jog past them, or Aguero or Tevez or whatever. You know, they're going to really put the foot in and make life difficult for them. So perhaps, you know, they do need someone with a bit more presence up front.
Yeah, I agree with him with that. And also, speaking of Brazil, you've been working at the Confederations Cup, and you've been very close to the Brazilian national team. So, you could give us your opinion on that, and it's a very valuable opinion for all of us. Do you think Brazil will be happy to sit and wait for Argentina and try and hit them on the counterattack? Is this the best possible scenario for Brazil to be facing a desperate Argentina in front of their own crowd? And Brazil not having to actually go and chase the game from the start. Do you think this is particularly dangerous for Argentina?
Yeah, I think it could be, because Brazil are fantastically organised at the moment. They've got a really strong team spirit. There are very few sort of stars as such. It's not like the old days when they had sort of Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, who very much played at being the stars. You know, they're a very tight unit. They work very hard for each other, and they basically all work very hard so that Kaká, Robinho and Luis Fabiano can do their thing. That means everyone else sits back, wins the ball. They support each other fantastically well. At the back, I mean, they've got a fantastic keeper in Julio César. The two centre-backs are strong. They've got Maicon and Dani Alves, who I suspect Dunga's really thinking about playing the two of them, maybe Dani Alves on the left. And they're two brilliant fullbacks. And then, as I said, Gilberto Silva and Felipe Melo. Gilberto Silva's certainly coming into sort of the twilight period of his career, but he still does a job for them, and he's an important player for them. And Felipe Melo is excellent, very all-round player. And I have to say, I was really impressed with how much of a unit they are, and how hard they work for each other. And it'll suit them down to the ground. If Argentina really come at them and really attack, they'll be happy to sit back. They'll be able to contain them. Well, they'll certainly think they can, and then just wait for it. And then, as I said, release the ball to Kaká and look for Fabiano up front or Robinho, who's almost got something of a free role. They don't look like the kind of the classic Brazilian team who play beautiful football and have got, you know, all the flicks and all the skills and all the charisma. But they're just a very strong side at the moment. And perhaps they didn't really get the kind of test to really judge them at the Confederations Cup. Everyone was hoping for a Spain-Brazil final, and the USA managed to beat Spain in the semi-final. So, you know, they didn't get to come up against a team of a real quality. I mean, Italy were horrendous when they played them in the group stage. But that said, they looked, as I said, very comfortable. They know their game plan, and it's going to be one hell of a match. I think the move to take the international, the qualifier to Rosario is quite a good call, because Argentina are going to need as much of a home advantage as they can muster, and I'm sure that by playing at Rosario is going to be a much more of a difficult atmosphere for the Brazilians. But it's going to be a brilliant game, and it's going to make or break Argentina's qualification, I think.
Yeah, speaking about the change of venue, I have to say that I would be over the moon. I'm very, very happy if the decision to move the venue to Rosario was done just having in mind the fact of moving the national team and having the national team played in the provinces. Just for all the people at the provinces, very passionate about football, can have the opportunity to watch the stars they can only watch on television. And if it was an idea of having sort of a rotation between Buenos Aires, Rosario, then Cordoba, Mendoza, Salta, or other places, I would be really, really happy if that was the reason why they moved from River Plate to Rosario in this case. But this is more related to this battle that Maradona had with the River Plate directors. And yes, Maradona was right on talking about the state of the pitch, because the River Plate pitch against Colombia and even in previous World Cup qualifiers was disastrous, and it really plays against Argentina and our way of play and the way of passing the ball around that we have. That's something that can be fixed by September. But instead, they started this duel, Maradona with the River Plate directors, and I think the decision to move this venue from Buenos Aires to Rosario was more related to this particular duel they had, and not because they want to federalize the national team. So that's something that I'm caught in the middle, because I'm happy because this match is going to be taking place in the provinces. But I'm also not so happy because of the reasons behind it. And I think Maradona, maybe without knowing it or without realizing it, is also getting himself in a big risk here. Because what if Argentina loses against Brazil in Rosario? I imagine all these critics waiting with a fork and knife already, and maybe waiting for Argentina to lose so they can have another reason to hit at Maradona. And I think, as I said, maybe Maradona didn't realize of this, and he's not even thinking of this possibility. But it could be a case that this move to Rosario will play against him. And also, yeah. And just one thing, don't forget that Argentina in the whole history of the World Cup qualifiers have only lost one game against at River Plate, and it was against Colombia, that 5-0 in 93. So I wouldn't think that the lack of support, as Maradona wants to put it, will have an influence on this game. I do think that the crowd gets more louder at Rosario, and that will be an advantage for Argentina. But what if Brazil goes? What if they go up in the score, and then the public will turn its back on the team? Maybe, I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think the whole thing with the River Plate issue and the problem with, you know, Aguilar, the president of River Plate, and the other directors is the way that it happened, and through Maradona's, you know, choice of words. So by comparing it, the pitch at River Plate to you know, Villa Fiorito, where he grew up, it's classic Maradona, because it's going way too far, exaggerating the problem and creating controversy where there didn't really need to be any, because I'm sure if they'd gone through AFA and they'd had a quiet word with River Plate, as you said, they could fix it by September, and they wouldn't have needed to have this problem. But it's just typical of everything that's happened since Maradona's been brought on board. You know, you've had the Ruggeri problem of Grondona not wanting Ruggeri being involved, Maradona wanting him on board, and then, you know, the pitch as well. But the other thing, though, is I think Maradona's realised, and he's tried to make it a collective decision. So he's, you know, he said yesterday in this interview that that the players wanted to move and wanted to have it in Rosario as well, that it was the players who brought up the subject in the first place. So I'm not quite sure whether Diego's trying to make out that it wasn't all his idea and it's not that he's created this huge problem. But you're absolutely right about how if things don't work out in Rosario, if they lose to Brazil, then, well, you just have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, a big crisis coming up, that's for sure. And yeah, Diego said that even from the time where he used to play there, and he did mention players such as Batistuta, Balbo, and players from previous processes, that they were always complaining about playing at River Plate. And he said that this is something that nobody really ever had the courage of asking the AFA to move to another venue. And now finally he had this courage of asking and managing to move it. But again, we'll see how it goes. I'm happy to see Argentina playing in a different venue. And I hope this whole move turns out for the good. Because in a way it reminds me of the Davis Cup final and last year when Argentina said, okay, we will play against Spain, they will come with Rafael Nadal, we need to play in another surface, we cannot play on clay. And so they moved and they went to Mar del Plata on a fast surface. In the end, Rafael Nadal didn't turn up because he was injured, and Spain won the Davis Cup, and it really backfired for us. So I don't want this same thing to happen, but the situation unfortunately reminds me a lot of it. So let's turn the page and let's talk about a little bit about one player that's been making the news lately. And I know you wrote a story on him not so long ago for The Guardian. And it's Javier Pastore. He now moved from Huracán, where he had a great season. They were unlucky not to win the championship, and they lost it in the final week against Vélez. And now he moved to Palermo, and there's a lot of people calling him up for the national team. Do you think he's ready? And do you think Maradona is upset because he didn't go to the under-20 South American championship, even though it wasn't a player's decision, it was a decision of Huracán?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the piece that I wrote, certainly was talking about that, because I think something that hasn't really been said too much is how much that is the case both for him and for Higuain. You know, the problem with Higuain is not that that he's not good enough or that he doesn't add anything different. It's that you know, for Diego, it's all about the national team. It's all about loving the shirt, representing your country, and anyone who says no to the national team is persona non grata. So Higuain took his time both to choose to play for Argentina, not for France, because he was born there, but then also didn't go to the under-20s because he felt in Canada, because he felt he was ready for the full national team. The thing with Pastore is that it was Huracán, the club, who didn't allow him to travel. I spoke to Angel Capa, his coach, about this and asked him why they did that. And he said it was Pastore wasn't even first choice for the under-18s, so he wouldn't have had that experience of playing, and he needed a good pre-season to be ready for this for the tournament. And certainly with Pastore's performances last season, I think both Huracán and Capa were proved right, because, you know, watching Javier Pastore last season, as well as Huracán and other players like Bolatti and De Federico, was just a joy. It was just the way football, you know, we all wish football would be played. Just, you know, no concerns about defending. It's all attack. It's all about skills and flicks and entertainment. And he's a wonderful player. He's still very young, though. There was a chance of him coming back to Huracán on loan from Palermo because he because they've got too many foreigners. And he is still very young. I think he's not even, he may be 20 now, I think. He's a real talent. You know, wonderful player to watch, very sort of graceful, very skillful. And I think if he improves in front of goal a little bit, he could really score an awful lot of goals from quite deep. You know, he's a great player, real prospect. I'm not sure whether he's quite ready for the full national team, but I think certainly if someone like Dátolo is being called up, then I think Pastore is in with a shout as well.
And what about the role that you see Juan Sebastián Verón having, and what about the recent performances he's been having? Because I read Maradona and I heard him speaking many times that Juan Sebastián Verón is pretty much in his plans, and he plans to create a sort of a partnership between Verón and Messi. And to be honest, when I saw them, the two of them playing together against Venezuela for a few moments, they show that they can really work together very well. Like this kind of 1-2s, very short passes, and then probably a long pass to another player or to Messi to run deep. How do you see Juan Sebastián Verón playing a role for this Maradona's team now?
Yeah, I think the main thing with Verón is his age. He's 35. He's had a lot of problems with injury, and that's sort of really stunted his football over the last year or so. I mean, it's funny, you see just yesterday Ortega came back for River Plate and has, you know, scored a brilliant goal. You know, Verón is still playing for Estudiantes and leading them to winning the Libertadores. It's great to see some of these players who have just kind of fallen off the radar in Europe still doing really well over here. And Verón was, you know, fantastic at Estudiantes. Obviously, he had at Estudiantes, he has a very special role because of the fact that his father was part of the team that won three Libertadores in the 60s, and that he's come back and he sacrificed or chose to go to Estudiantes over, you know, big money moves to the MLS or even back to Europe. So you just wonder sort of whether that's what really drives him, and it's playing at the moment, playing for Estudiantes, and what it means to him. That's, you know, what really drives him on. And I'm sure he'd have the same with Argentina. He's, I mean, you perhaps know better than any of us, Seba, that the amount of trouble he used to have with the Argentina fans after the 2002 World Cup. But I mean, certainly, if he plays like he played in the final against Cruzeiro, there's absolutely no reason why he can't be really important for the side. The only thing is, it means probably dropping Gago. If he's going to play four in midfield, you know, Verón alongside Mascherano, if both perform, is a stunning midfield partnership. But it does mean dropping Gago, and that's a player who Maradona's certainly very keen on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I mentioned earlier that maybe he's going to have to choose between one from Maxi and Jonas if he wants to use Verón in front of Mascherano and Gago. Maybe that's another option. I don't know. But yeah, I will think, speaking of Verón, I will think that maybe his motivation is where is at the right place right now. He's sort of released from any possible pressure because he has won everything at the Estudiantes, and maybe his next goal is to succeed at the national team, and I'm sure he will give his everything to make it at the national team, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him in our World Cup squad for next year, because even at his age, he is showing a level of performances that is way better than your average 20-year-old. He is amazing. He's the way he dominated the Copa Libertadores final was something to admire. And if he can translate that sort of form into the national team, I think we're up for good things. And not having Riquelme, I think he's a player that we should have because of the way he takes free kicks and his long shots and the vision he has of the entire pitch and also his leadership. He has a good relationship going on with Messi. I think he could be a key player for us in the future. I'm happy to see him.
I think you're right, and I'd just add one thing to that, is the not just the leadership, but the experience. Because when you start looking at, you know, a probable starting 11 in the World Cup for Argentina, and if you're going from, you know, from the top line back, as it were, you know, you're looking at players like Tevez and Aguero or Messi, who are all very young. Mascherano is a young captain to have on your side. Jonas hasn't got that much, you know, Champions League experience or international sort of level experience. Maxi played the last World Cup, but you know, when you look at that kind of level of experience, they're all players who've played at, you know, the top level. But just to have someone like Verón is, you're right, not just the leadership, but the experience when it comes to certainly to the knockout stage, say, in the World Cup.
Yeah. And speaking about lack of experience, I'm full of praise for this young player that I'm about to mention now, but I want to listen to your take on him. He already had his debut for Argentina. I think he did okay, apart from one very important mistake at the very first play, but then I think he showed a lot of composure and he did well against Ecuador. And I'm talking about Nicolás Otamendi. How impressed are you with this young defender?
Well, he's certainly getting everyone talking, isn't he? Just last week, there was supposedly Jorge Valdano, the sporting director at Real Madrid, had a couple of meetings with both his agent and the people at Vélez about a possible move for him. And I think that speaks, you know, tremendously highly of him. I mean, I think after Bolatti, he was player of the tournament last year in terms of quality, but also a player to really sort of make big strides forward, really improve. I think Vélez had a very tight defence last year in the Clausura, and that's thanks to a player like him who, despite being so young, is still shows a real composure. And you know, there's been all kinds of talk about, you know, in the same way that any striker is going to be, or any left-footed player, say, is compared to Maradona. You know, short Argentine centre-back is going to be compared to Fabian Ajala, or even Cannavaro, but particularly Ajala for what he did with the national team. And he looks a real prospect. You just, again, you know, he's had one good season in Argentina, and by season we mean really half season when you compare to the length of a European season. So, you know, I think he needs another good term with Vélez, and then perhaps a move to Europe. But I mean, he certainly looks like a fantastic prospect. But it's the same with players like Otamendi or with Pastore. You know, they're young players who have a good 6 months, and if there's the opportunity, and if there aren't the players with the experience, then by all means, you know, move them up into the national team. But it's early still to be putting that much pressure on them, especially at the back for Argentina, where, to be honest, if there's one line that really has quite a bit to be desired and they need to work on it, it's the defensive line. So bringing such a young player into the back four could put a lot of pressure on him. But as you said, he's a fantastic player, and hopefully, you know, he'll continue to progress and improve and become the player that that everyone thinks he can be.
But what are you talking about our defense? We have Heinze, right? We've covered it.
We were talking about it, weren't we, just before we started recording this. I mean, you know, Madrid want to get rid of Heinze. Heinze still wants to earn 4.2 million euros a year, and which is why Marseille can't sign him. And, you know, for all the mistakes he makes, Diego still has him as his vice-captain. So, you know, it's a tricky one, but the defense really is a real problem. One good bit of news for the defensive line is that Carrizo has moved to Zaragoza in Spain, and that he'll be getting games.
Yeah.
Because obviously at Lazio he was just on the bench doing absolutely nothing, and so that's excellent news for the national team.
Yeah, but I have to say I'm quite happy with Andújar, and I'm hoping. Mm. He gets the nod ahead of Carrizo. Particularly, this is my opinion, and I think Andújar is a better player and has a little bit more experience. And now he's getting another chance to prove his worth in Europe. So we're going to have to see and pay attention to his first season at Catania now. But I wouldn't be surprised if Andújar gets the nod ahead of Carrizo, even though Diego Maradona said when he took over that Carrizo was his goalkeeper, but he can change his mind, you know? It wouldn't be the first
time.
Well,
I think a couple of the goals in the 6-1 against Bolivia will have changed his mind. But either way, though, yeah, I mean, Argentina needs to have, you know, more than just one keeper. And I completely agree with you on Andújar, but you know, Maradona needs at least a second keeper who's playing at a good level and is in good form, just for the confidence that it gives you.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Let's talk a little bit about another player that a lot of readers at Mundo Albiceleste have been calling for him to join the national team, and is Esteban Cambiaso. I remember particularly about Cambiaso when he was playing, people were calling him were trying to get rid of Cambiaso, or they didn't want him on the team. And now that he's not being called, everybody is calling him up or trying to convince Maradona or calling up Cambiaso. I think the last season was probably the best season I've seen from Cambiaso, and I think it could be a great addition. But I'm sure Maradona wants to bet on this partnership of Mascherano and Gago, and probably he doesn't see space for Cambiaso to join our midfield, and probably he doesn't want to call him up to keep him on the bench. But I would think that he deserves another chance. Would you?
Yeah, Cambiaso is a funny one, isn't he? Because you look at him and you kind of think, well, he must be retired and, you know, I've stopped playing about 15 years ago, but he's still a young player, man. He's still doing really well at Inter. But, I mean, just, I think, I'm not sure where I saw this, but Maradona said something along the lines of, Cambiaso no me seduce, you know, Cambiaso doesn't seduce me, I'm not sure quite what Maradona was getting at there. But basically, while Diego's in charge, it doesn't look like Cambiaso is going to get a look in. I think he's got a lot of experience and also adds that kind of balance to a central midfield partnership by virtue of being a left-sided player.
Lot of goals, right?
He's kind of just as comfortable playing quite deep or even further forward. I think he can also play on the left-hand side of midfield. You know, we're talking about Dátolo or because of Di Maria's suspension, or Jonas going over there. But you're right. I mean, Cambiaso is another player who could fulfil that role. But I'm not sure. I don't know what the backstory is on this one. But it seems like Maradona's just not interested in calling him up.
Mm. And speaking of Jonas, will he stay at Newcastle even though they're in the Championship now? Will he be willing to move? I'm sure he'll be willing to move away from Newcastle, which is a team that is very difficult for any player to play at right now. it's in disarray. It's a team that really is really struggling. They lost to one team from the lower leagues in England. They lost something like 6-0 or something. I don't remember now. But and at the moment, it looks like he's still in the squad for Newcastle. What would you think of Jonas staying at the Championship?
Well, I mean, it would be, in terms of his career, international career, it would be suicide. It's funny, just today, actually, I was wondering about, it cropped up somewhere, and I was going to look into it, because I was wondering if I'd missed it anywhere. I don't know if any of the readers can help out on this, or maybe some ideas of what he should do. But, I mean, certainly, if he stays at Newcastle, you've got to think that he's playing himself out of contention, because the level just isn't good enough. You know, he did well in Newcastle, and I was lucky enough to be able to speak to him a couple of times, and he seems very happy in England, and I think his style is quite suited to the Premiership. But so far he literally hasn't been mentioned in terms of a potential move, and I don't know whether there are some complications still with Mallorca and with Vélez for his ownership, or I'm not quite sure why no one else has come in for him, because he's a very talented player, certainly knows the Premiership well now. But the only thing I can think of is that it's his wages, that Newcastle are paying him an awful lot, and other clubs can't match it. Because if he plays in the Championship, you know, even just for 6 months and then moves in January, really he's playing himself out of a place, not just in the squad here, in the starting 11, because Maradona seems very happy with him. And counts on him for the starting 11, like his first choice 11. But as I said, if he stays at Newcastle, you can only think that he'll lose that place.
Yeah, well, I heard a rumor that he might be going to Roma, but then I lost track on it. Maybe that was just a rumor and never materialized. And also, a lot of people say, oh, Maradona is calling Jonas, who wasn't even a starter for Newcastle, and we're talking about a team that got relegated. I mean, under the current state of things at Newcastle, I don't think even Messi would have been able to shine at Newcastle. We're talking about a club in crisis, and I think it's very harsh on Jonas to say that he failed at Newcastle, because frankly, everybody failed at Newcastle, and they had this change of manager, and when Alan Shearer took over, he never really used him for the 90 minutes of every game, and he was even using him from the bench, and that was a situation that was very difficult for him or for any player to be at.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you just have to look at what Michael Owen said when he left Newcastle and went to Manchester United. You know, he said nobody got out of there alive. You know, nobody... Yeah. Did well. The team, the club, you know, they were trying to sell the club throughout the whole season. They were playing horrendous football. It's a club with a huge budget, a lot of good players, and yet they still went down. And I think that is more a reflection on Newcastle Football Club than you know, Jonas Gutierrez or Michael Owen or any of the others. But you know, I hope Jonas moves moves to another English club, or moves to a club like Roma, you know, that plays at a good level. If he can get a Champions League team, then I wouldn't be at all surprised, and it'd be certainly an excellent move for him, because I can't imagine anything worse than as an Argentine international playing in the Championship in England.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so is there any other topic you want to touch base on?
No. I think you've just about gone through it all. I mean, the only thing, I don't know what you think about this, Seba, is Maradona's goatee.
Yeah, it looks like half of this goatee is the part of the moustache.
Yeah.
Is completely black, and then the rest is all white. So
yeah, exactly.
Kind of looks like a Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band kind of look.
Well, I saw Terry Venables did an interview with the Guardian quite recently, and they asked him about it, and he said it was for his partner. So I just wonder whether Veronica has had a word with Diego and asked for a bit more facial hair.
Yeah, funny guy Maradona nowadays. And I recently, well, in this interview, he mentioned to Ole that he wants to be Peyton Manning, you know, the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. He's a big fan of the NFL, and so I am. So I was quite surprised to see that. And he says that sometimes every Monday night, Veronica wants him to go to bed, and he says, no, the game is not over. I'm watching Monday Night Football. And it's very bizarre. It's an image that it wouldn't ever cross my mind to think of. Maradona is a fan of the NFL, and he knows some players. It's amazing. it's a funny, funny guy.
Well, not only that, but also outrageously for an Argentine, Seba, he's never done an asado. He's never done a barbecue.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I can't believe.
Yeah, well, you have to use your hands to do an asado, so
that's true.
You would imagine that at least with one hand he could have been able to do it at least once. All right. So thanks, Joel. It's been a pleasure to have you, and I'm looking forward for another edition with you as a guest at Mundo Albiceleste, or a regular participant of it.
Excellent. No, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, definitely count me in. Thanks for having me on.
Nice. Thank you again. And don't forget, for all the listeners, to write to argentina.correspondent@gmail.com, argentina.correspondent@gmail.com, for any questions or comments you wanna ask, and also for things you want us to discuss in future editions of the podcast. And even if you wanna join us for a future edition, we'll be more than happy to have you. So it's all from us today. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time. Vamos, Argentina!